Thanks for being here. A couple comments about obviously the first early signing period. I don't know if it's the first ever in the history of college football, but the first one that we have ever been a part of. I really want to thank our staff, and I don't normally do that. It's all about the player, but I can't remember the urgency that we experienced today or this past 2 weeks. You know, you just start thinking about the time warp that took place. Finishing the season that we had to finish the way we did. And then you play a rival, then you play a Big Ten championship game. And by the way, signing date is 2 weeks away now. There's 3 weeks of recruiting. If you're in a championship game, you get 2 weeks of recruiting. And, Mark Pantone and his staff, but really our coaching staff, I can't remember a December like that ever. And so we just got a plan, and that's the way it's going to be. And I just really appreciate our coaches because and their families, they were gone. This was, you think, boy, I just won the Big Ten championship. Okay, I'll see you in 2 weeks because it's done. And when I say done, it was incredible. 2 weeks of intense travel, home visits, relationship building in December. And I'm anxious to see how this all plays out and talk to the colleagues as, everybody's too busy now, but what their thoughts are of the early signing. And special thanks to the parents of these incredible families. This is a heck of a group. And the older I get, and that I don't sound very unique, but I'm one of the guys that have been on both sides of it to hand your child to someone. Really changed my whole approach to recruiting 8 years ago or whenever that was when my daughter was recruited by Georgia Tech. That's when Real Life Wednesday started. That's when we spend an inordinate amount of time of, we don't talk about degrees as much as we talk about careers. And I remember a coach one time, I would ask the coaches recruiting my daughter, and I'd stop them and say, what are you going to do for my kid? And every one of them said, we're going to help her get a degree. I looked at him and said, my daughter's a 4.0. What the hell are you going to do to get my kid a degree? Help her take tests? It's not. And so we've taken a much different approach here at Ohio State, and that's yes, a degree is absolutely critical and essential to leave here with a degree, but we're going to try to do much more than that, and that try to give them a career. And we have worked so hard on it, and it's been an overwhelming success. A lot of that has to do with because we're in a corporate America is only about 2 miles from here, and it's been a great success. And I know that's very important for young people when the families hear that. That's very strong. Quick comments about early signing, and then I'm sure you got some questions that we all have to remember that there's one person that really counts in this, and it's not me, it's not you, it's not the assistant coaches, it's not the university, it's the player. The player is making a life-changing decision, and I would hope that I'm not complaining because I'm still evaluating it. We did very well, and this is, I can't imagine that we have this many early signed. It was very good. My understanding was early signing was for the Jalen Gills of the world, a kid that grew up in Columbus, Ohio, wants to be a Buckeye his entire life, and he's going to sign so you don't have to babysit him for the next 2 months, which I think that's very appropriate and admirable. But what I felt happened, and something that we deal with and other schools deal with, is that the NFL entry deadline is January 15th. Our kids just got done playing two of the biggest games in their career, and won a championship, and we're getting ready to play in a big-time bowl game against a heck of a team at USC, so there's been very little, if any, conversation about NFL entry and all that, yet we're trying to fill a roster that I don't know. I can't tell you who's leaving, who's coming, and I have some ideas, and there's been preliminary talk, but you're talking about life-changing decisions for those guys and life-changing decisions for young people, the prospects. I just feel when you start squeezing people's time, I just don't know if that's the right thing to do, but I'm anxious to see how it all works out. So we have a numbers, if you saw that room in there, it's just you're playing the percentages. And what happens if you oversign and a young man doesn't decide to go to the NFL when he told you he was, that's his right. You can't hold that against him, and same thing with the so the intent was for the Jalen Gill. What I've had happen to me is I talked to several players, and my answer to them, because we're straightforward with them, is that I don't know if I have a scholarship right now because I don't know who's leaving for the NFL draft. a couple times, more than a couple, I got a comment back saying, Coach, the schools tell me if I don't sign on this 20th, I'm out. They're taking my scholarship offer. And that's not what the intent of the rule was. But I get it. I just think that's a great conversation piece for everyone to say, okay, well, really, is that the intent of the early sign-in period? So here's a young person committed to a certain school. His dream is to go to a school that you can compete for a national title. However, the school that's competing for the national or in that level is saying, I don't know, because there might be five guys leave for the NFL draft. But you know what? Austin, there might not be five guys. So what do you do? Well, you're honest with them. And the comment back is, I think I have to sign with this, because what if they pull my scholarship? I'm stuck with nothing. So I just think those are good conversation pieces. If we always remember the only thing that really matters is that young person gets to go the best place he can possibly go and that he wants to go. And if that works out, then I think it's a good situation. So with that said, I'll answer any questions for you and move on.
Front row left, Mitch.
Here's an indirect recruiting question for you. You're losing so many fifth-year seniors who made up like a good bit of the leadership of your team, might be losing some of the other top guys to the NFL. Is it going to be more challenging than usual to compensate for those losses?
I think so. You know, I think this is a special place in my heart for some, my heart, our heart here, because you guys know them. These 50-year guys are not just fantastic players, but they're the nuts and bolts of this program. They own this program, and they've been, I can't ask for any more than from them. And that's always a challenge when you use elite leadership, and that will be. The good thing is, this is a very healthy program right now. There's some very good young leaders coming up the ranks.
Front row middle, Dave.
You touched on this already, Coach, but I'm curious if you can expound on it. Just from Ohio State's perspective, the pros and cons of the early signing period, mm-hmm. Can you go through some of the pros and cons from your perspective?
Yeah, the pro is I just went around the room. I just had their nine assistant coaches say, tell me the positive, what's the negative? The positive, you're not babysitting. You know, Jalen Gill's done. I got his paper. You know, let's start getting him ready to play and monitoring academics, et cetera. The negatives, that's the positive. The negative is there's several. You're trying to speed recruit for two. We only had 2 weeks to recruit. And, you know, people will say we should know about him earlier. That is that right? You know, whoever would say you should know about that, I imagine they're, all due respect, they're journalists or they have nothing to do with recruiting or coaching or anything like that. Because what happens if football is a developmental sport? You can't, you know, there's a, you know, the there's some freaks of nature that just are giant, you know, just bigger and fast and everything by the time they get to this point. There's, you know what, there's also the Darren Lees. There's also the Josh Perrys, Tyvus Powells that are incredible football players at just a little bit later development. And those guys, that concerns me, because Ohio is so known for that too. And that really is alarming to me. And I'm on our staff, I keep diving at our coaches. Are we doing the right thing here? Well, this kid's better because, you know, he's had 4 years of spring practice. He's had all this. He's a little bit ahead. And we don't have a chance to get to know these late developers. And, you know, we took a late developer this year. And it was one of those probably 10 hours of conversation on that. So the positive is, like I said, no babysitting. The negative is that you're squeezing the recruiting process into a small time period. And very critical decisions for us, more critical decision for the young person.
It seems like every year you guys are adding a player like a Robert Landry, just for example, late in the process, no. An Ohio kid. It's not always an Ohio kid, but a player like that you're adding in like January now.
They won't be available. They're signed.
Second row right, Tony.
You're just talking about wanting to see senior tape, especially at quarterback. You got a chance to do that this time with Matthew Baldwin. How much more comfort does that give you, and what did you see?
Oh, I saw a dominant performance by a senior. I saw a kid that had a chance to leave Lake Travis. And nowadays, every kid, I'd say 90% of those players leave because they have to go get theirs. And here's a guy that was loyal to his school. It's a great high school. One of my first experiences down there. Great. That's as good a football as there is in the United States of America. Here comes in a kid, completes over 70% of his passes, takes him to the state championship, and is a monster competitor. That we, you know, Ryan Day did a heck of a job. you know, we're sitting there getting ready to play Penn State, and he's coming up to me saying, hey, let's watch this kid from Lake Travis. I'm ready to, like, pass out, say, you know, it's 10:30 at night. I've got third down and six in my mind, and we're trying to watch another quarterback. But that's the way it is. And so you're squeezing a recruiting process into a small time frame.
When you saw him, did that make – were you still interested in taking two quarterbacks at that time, or were you sold on –
We just can't numbers-wise. Yeah, I'd take two any time we can, especially with our situation. You know, it's just a little fluid right now. But I don't know our roster number.
You know. All right, Austin?
Ruben, I don't know if you can answer this well right now or not, but after this first year, what system, what suggestions, or what would you like to be the ideal way to handle it? I don't know if there is one.
I don't know right now. I don't, you know, I'd be honest with you, we had really good bowl practices, and you know, there'll be time. I'm anxious to go to the head coach's meetings and listen. You know, do I think it's all negative? You know, I was really dead set against it. I'm looking at this right here. Dead set against what? That's unbelievable. You know, but I think there's going to be some very good dialogue, and I want to listen.
I don't know if you've heard this proposed at any other point, but you referenced Jalen Gill, and you felt like all along you don't want to babysit him. He knew he was going to come here, wanted to come here. What about no signing day at all? If you give them an offer, just sign whenever you want.
No, I don't. I've heard that. I hate to make comments. I haven't thought it through. I have given zero to this. I've been in freaking Idaho and all over the place. And by the way, I'm glad I went to Idaho. It went really well.
Is that your first time to Idaho?
No, when I lived at Utah, I went to Idaho several times. First time I got a recruit out of Idaho, I believe. That's not true. Spencer, too, when I was at Utah, was an Idaho player. Great people.
New pipeline, right?
Yeah.
Third row right. Nick?
We talk about this every year, but the balance between keeping kids in Ohio and going nationally. There are four kids in Ohio right now. Is it a problem if you only have a few Ohio kids as long as you're winning 11 games a year?
It is. It is a problem.
How do you go about changing it?
Well, we had some academic issues this year with some of the Ohio kids. We err on the Ohio guy, and, you know, that's a small number. I don't think it's over, you know. Matter of fact, I know there's at least one more that we're holding on to, but because he has a signing date or something. Yeah, that's a problem. And what's the solution? Do the very best we can.
When you look at a kid, is it harder to retain a player if he is not from Ohio and did not grow up here? Or do you think it's easier to retain a player and keep him in your program longer if he grew up in the state?
Oh, I think it's obvious. He's probably a little easier to retain an Ohio player.
And last thing, is Matthew going to be the only quarterback you signed today?
On today, yes, and I would anticipate, but there's another signing date somewhere down the road. I'm not sure when it is.
Third row left, Dan.
You mentioned that you know you haven't had the opportunity to have those NFL draft conversations with guys, but just knowing them, do you feel like you at least have a pretty good idea of who might go and who might come back?
Yeah, I say that every year, and I get shocked sometimes. So, and we on purpose do not. There's not. I need to know. We don't do that. These are life changing decisions. So, I have my own. You know, I got percentages next to the names and my own. It changes. It's fluid. It changes every now and then. And here's the other thing that the player has a right to send his office. It's called send office paperwork. And the NFL is done. 10 years ago was awful. You get these things back, and you can tell people didn't spend time at it. I don't know if I'm disrespecting anybody. I didn't care. I'd look and say, who watched this videotape? He's not a first rounder. He's... You know, and it came back, and there's a big differential. So, for example, this young man was told he's going to be a third-round draft pick, and he was a free agent. So he made a decision to leave, and he got screwed. It's much better. They're doing a much better job, the NFL, working with the colleges and working with these players. And now they're allowed to evaluate these underclassmen. So this is a very detailed – I'm not sure you guys are aware of that. They're allowed to now look into the young player. And the players, if I ever heard a player as we're getting ready to go play a Big Ten championship game against the number four team in America, and he comes up to me and says, hey, can I send in my paperwork for the NFL? That'd be one of those that what the hell are you talking about? So here's a young person who finishes the Big Ten championship. He needs to take a break for a minute and then sends off his paperwork. It takes about 2 weeks or so to get back, and we have a signing date already. A lot of the paperwork's not back yet. You understand, you're squeezing very important decisions into a small time frame. So those are all the things that you have to ask.
Do you feel like you'll have everybody available for a bowl game, or is anybody considering not playing in the Cotton Bowl?
I think we'll have everybody. Obviously, we announced that A.J. Alexander's medical. Kiara Hawkins is transferred. And I think that's it right now.
Front row middle. Bill?
Alex Williams from Pickerington North. Mark Pantone made that official, so in case you're worried about that. What did you like about him? Could you just kind of describe the process with him?
Yeah, he was one of those nights we came in and started, I wanted to see the Ohio guys, and I sat there and went through it myself over and over again, and this is right after I found out that A.J. Alexander was no longer going to be able to play football, and Kier made his move to move on, and we're very thin at that position. And so I looked at these, I started watching him, and he's a late developing player. I think he was hurt some of his junior year, and I like the fact he plays extremely hard and he's a big athlete.
Where do you project him?
A big athlete. Okay. I think he can do either. Okay. I mean, there's need at both spots, but I don't know. It's just a big athlete. And you meet the young man. He's a 3.8 GPA. He's comes from an outstanding family. Great high school program. That Pickerington football between Central and North, and the rivalry there. It's great football.
Front row left, Doug.
I'm going to ask a couple questions just about football instead of recruiting. If that's okay.
Sure.
Last year, when we were here with your class on the signing day, we're always talking about who's going to play and that kind of thing. When you look at your freshman class this past year, I think 14 of the guys played. Was that just them showing they could play? Was that need? Was that an effort by you guys to let's get them out there? How did you do that in getting 14 true freshmen out there?
I think it'd be wrong for me to just group them all together. I don't know that. I think that you don't just play a guy to play him. You know, Jeff Okuda played because he's one of our best players, and we also needed him, but I got news. He would have played anyways. That's how good he was. J.K. Dobbins, when Mike went down, it became a need, but guess what? You know, so I think it's unfair for me, Doug, to just group them all together. I would like to play, you know, I say that every year, and sometimes it doesn't work out that way. It's not intent. If you don't play here, it's because you're not good enough. It's not because we're saving you for somewhere down the road. Well, those days are gone. If you come here and you're good enough, you play. And if you don't, I try to tell everybody, you know, fans, uncles, everybody, if he's not playing, it's not because, hey, we're holding him back. No, you go play. And this was a very good group we had, and their future, I mean, that group's a very good group.
And then this is even more specific. When I think about JT Barrett and his career at Ohio State, to me the play that stands out most for him and what he did great was the third down runs from the empty set. Mm-hmm. Why was he so good at that? Why did you guys, sometimes you'd see that, you know, it's third and four, and JT's back there by himself, five wide. It's like, this is going to be a quarterback run. And it would be a quarterback run, and it would work. It worked a lot. Why is he so good at that? Why were you guys so good at that with him, running him on third down?
Well, historically, it goes back to 2001 at Bowling Green. Dan Mullen was on my staff, and Dan and I, this is before teams really did a lot of that. The other guy that was very good at that was Bill Snyder at Kansas State. I went there and spent a week and watched how he did his business, and he was doing things that other people didn't do, and it's sheer numbers. You put five guys out, they get five guys have just now left the box. And you put a free safety back there, and there's only five guys left. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And so your numbers are called equated. And so that's one reason. And he is dynamic at getting that. He's a very good reader. He's a very good understanding. He's excellent with ball security. And it works.
And it does. It's a combination, right, of his athleticism, but his smarts of being able to read where he needs to go.
And you're forgetting two things. Number one, he's competitive, one of the most competitive human beings that stands on this earth. And number two, he's toughness. All the other things are true, but you have a competitor like that, I know who's going to touch the ball. And I've said that over the headsets many times. JT's carrying his ball.
Back row left, Kevin.
Two questions. One, every
team across the nation is looking for quality defensive tackles. You guys signed three, Antoine Jackson out of the JUCO ranks, and then Teron Vincent, and your trip to Idaho as well with Tommy. I mean, just talk a little on the defensive tackle class. And secondly, schools have negatively recruited for years and years. They used Larry Johnson's longevity as an issue, and he had to go to social media to say, I'm not going anywhere. I mean, what are your thoughts on having to go to those lengths to try and stem some of those concerns?
Well, I look forward to you to talk to Larry about, talk about his those three inside guys, and he's made some very strong comments about the future of the inside of our defensive line. And what I love about them, they're all great kids, great families, and they're ready to go. And I anticipate they'll all play. So our interior defense line is going to be strong. I'm used to, the negative. I don't agree with it. The one thing you'll never hear Ohio State go into someone's home and talk about some other school or some other coach. We don't do that. And but it's the way it is. And so I wasn't aware that was going on because I don't read social media stuff. But I was made aware to me by our staff. And so Larry said, do you mind if I do this? And no, of course not. So Larry's his own man, and he's committed to be here for many years.
Second row middle, right?
Y'all signed a couple of players from Middle Tennessee, Max Ray and Master Teague. Can you just talk about what you see in them and how they might impact the program?
Well, Max Ray's was a committed somewhere else, and we started a dialogue with him, and has got a wonderful family. We need tackles, so that's one area where we're somewhat thin, so he fulfills a need there. Master Teague just kind of he came to our camps. He's big, he's fast. One of the greatest kids you'll ever meet, a very excellent student, a great family, so they fit some needs.
Far left, Colin?
How involved are you when you self-report an NCAA violation, how involved are you in the self-imposed punishment, especially when it comes with you agree not to recruit someone?
Good question. Good thing is we don't have many of those here. I get extremely upset when I see that there was something done that was done incorrectly, and we do everything we possibly can to make sure that does not happen again. Even if it sounds minor, it's not minor. When I hear the word violation, and most people, including my wife, say, what does this mean? Kid took a picture on a set of a game day thing or something like that. But everybody in our program should know the rules, and that shouldn't have happened. It's presented to me, and I agree with it or disagree with it, and we move on.
And final two questions. Over here to the right, Clay.
You get the bulk of the class today. How many might you sign in February?
Yeah, we're not many left. I just don't know our roster number. I won't know that till January because of the NFL, so there's not many left.
And because you've been consumed in recruiting, how have you prepared for the bulk? How do you?
We rely on the guys that are very good at what they do. It's called my staff. And the one thing that I can also tell you is that this is the best group of young coaches we've had. And when I say young coaches, our GAs, quality control people, it's the best group that we've had in all my 6 years here at Ohio State. And without them, we can't do this. When I say do this, I'm talking about everything. But when you come on off the road and you see the entire scouting report of the team you're getting ready to play, like done the way you want it done, and that lets the coaches go to work, and they've done a great job.
And final question, front row right, Tim.
Yeah, I wasn't going to ask this, but immediately, but will you be coaching when you're 65? You think?
No.
number two.
Don't you? Maybe. How's that?
There you go. That was a throwaway question. I don't know if you can answer this yet or not, but there was a big-time tackle from Ohio. We're getting the impression he's going somewhere else. Can you address that? And number two, considering all the effort put into that young man, how big a disappointment is that on a day like today?
I can't comment because there's – I'll leave it at that.
Okay. When you look at this list, what jumps out at you the most about this list of guys that you've gotten so far? There's 20 – I think have been announced by now. What jumps out at you is the strength of this class when you really look at it?
Well, I think there's no doubt the interior defensive line. There's so many, one of my favorite players and a guy that was absolutely relentless in the pursuit was Josh Proctor, player of the year in the state of Oklahoma. You know, obviously a heck of a football program there. And he made the decision to join us. And then I'm looking at I do this quite often. It's not fair to the young people, but I think Jeremy Rucker might be the best tight end prospect that I've ever seen and recruited. I mean, his skill set is ridiculous. Now it's a question of getting ready to play. And there's many more. I just picked a couple there.
And let's think, you know, we've asked you this question a million times when you've recruited quarterbacks. What is it about? I mean, you know, you talk about Baldwin, his lineage, where he's from. Baker Mayfield's from the same school along with other guys. What, more than anything else, jumps off the page at you or the video at you about him? About Matthew Baldwin in
particular. I went and watched him practice too, and I trust Ryan Day. Ryan Day did a phenomenal job. I'll say this too, just about Coach Day. You know, Coach Day had opportunity to potentially be head coach in the SEC and decided to stay at Ohio State. And he's done a phenomenal job for us. There have been other coaches on our staff have opportunities to move on, and they haven't. So this coaching staff is very strong right now. The one thing about Matthew Baldwin is that, and I learned this years ago, and I've said this before in here, is that the what we do when we evaluate really any position, however, the most important position is the quarterback, is the competitive spirit's number one. Toughness is number two. Leadership is number three. Number four is intelligence. Number five is, can you get out of a bad play? And then, by the way, how's he throw? How's he run? We'll work on all that other stuff. And I think you see so many mistakes made at that position because people don't categorize like that. And he checks the box off perfectly, going right down the list. And when you see NFL make mistakes in drafting guys because they didn't fit those top five categories. You know, you have a non-competitor quarterback, it's a bad day. You have a guy that is not very intelligent, not very tough, and can't lead. Really, really bad day. And we've been lucky around here for 4 years. We've had one.
You going to be able to go watch his game Saturday?
Matt Baldwin?
Yeah.
No.
He's playing AT&T.
I think we're dead.
Oh, yeah. I never thought about that. Yeah.
On TV.
One last thing. Did you address this a minute ago.
Is this the last question?
Yes, sir.
But I got to ask this. Y'all dropped off one fellow in particular. We were talking about the ESPN set and all that kind of stuff. Was that the reason you dropped off of him, or was it another reason?
I don't want to talk. We're going to move on. Okay. Thanks, guys.